Amen. This is just a little tight. I'm going to unbutton this if you don't mind. You understand that God has a plan for you. Most of us know that. Jeremiah 29 says that. Jeremiah 29, 11 says that God has a plan for you, a plan to prosper you. But you also know that the devil has a plan for you. I forgot the offering, didn't I, fellas? Let's do that right now. They hate it when I do that at the end of the service. It makes them stay over. Amen. Come on up. Let's receive this offering. Amen. There's a communication card in the back of the seat in front of you. I'd like for you to take one of those communication cards at some point today. Everyone, every family at least, just write your name down. If you're a member, and just write your name down. But if there's a prayer request, turn it over. If the Lord does something in your heart, fill that out in the back. Whatever you want to communicate to us, but please at least put your name on a card. And then there'll be a couple guys at the back of the doors at the end of the service, and they'll collect those for me, so you don't have to rush to do that now. Brother Denny.
Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. Father, your grace and your mercy is towards us is beyond what words can describe. Lord, we thank you for who you are and for what you've done for us. Lord Jesus, we say happy birthday to you today.
Amen.
And we pray that this offering today, that you see it as a birthday gift from us to you. And Lord Jesus, you're probably the only one where it's appropriate to say that this goes for Christmas and your birthday. So we thank you because you really are the best big brother a person could ever ask for.
Amen.
We thank you so much for all you do. Who you are. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, fellas. Sorry about that. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has a plan for you, and it's a plan to prosper you. And I think most Christians know that verse. We just quote it all the time because it's a uplifting, encouraging verse. But the opposite side of that is Satan's got a plan for you too. And Satan's plan is to destroy you. John 10:10, right? So Satan wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you and he wants to destroy you. But Jesus says, I've got a plan that I want to help you with. I want to give you life. I want to do good things in your life. So we see there's two choices out there. Now, today as we read this story, I want to back up just a little bit. Because I want to talk to you about the plan that God has in your life. And I think I have this belief that most of us know it. We may not be able to write it down exactly what God has called us to do. But I think a lot of times very deep in our psyche, very deep in our hearts, we sort of know what God has planned for us. We sort of know the direction that He wants to do and accomplish in our life. He wants to fulfill that. And I think many times that evokes questions in our heart. And there's been a lot of preachers that would say it's not right to question God. It's a lack of faith. So that's sort of what I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. Is it a problem if you say, God, I got a question. You know, this plan that you give for me, it bothered me just a bit. And I want to bring something to you today. Now, the story right before this story was the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. The very same angel, Gabriel. Don't you think it's strange the way the Word of God said that? An angel of the Lord, Gabriel, appeared to Mary, and she was a little scared. Yeah, I think I would be too, right? You know, angels are not tiny beings. They would fill up the room. And can you imagine one night in your bedroom, you're just putting up laundry or something like that, and all of a sudden in the corner there's this 9-foot fella hunched over in your bedroom. How you doing, Shay? I think it would evoke just a little bit of a response. Dear God, who are you and how'd you get in this house? But this angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias and he says, hey, your old woman, literally old woman, your wife, who's old and been known as barren, could not have children, she's going to have a baby. Now, I think it's funny that Zacharias and Mary almost come across as the same question. How can this be? You know? And when you read it, you'd almost think, well, Gabriel must have got up on the wrong side of the bed when he talked to Zacharias. And when he was talking to Mary, he was in good humor. Well, that's not true. Same guy. Same Spirit of the Lord is upon him. But Zacharias' question really wasn't a question of how's this going to be. It was more like a statement of doubt that was just shadowed by a question. In other words, he's saying, this can't be. There's no way. Hey, we're old. Right? We're old. Young people have babies, not old people. We're old, and my wife can't have children. She's barren. This ain't going to happen now. You know what the angel Gabriel did for Zacharias? I think most of us look at this story and we think, wow. You know what you ought to say? Wow, that's mercy. Because he struck him mute. You see, if you're not going to speak faith, if you're not going to speak towards the promises of God for your own life, then you'd be better off to be struck mute. I didn't think that'd go over big, but it's still what I believe. I think most of us, a lot of the times, speak against the plan of God for our life. You know why? Because all we do is we see our limitations. We don't see how big God is. And in our mind, it's like, this can't be. I'm not able to complete that task. So whatever God has sort of laid on your heart, here's where I'm going. Here's what I believe God has called me to do with my life. I guarantee you, in your own heart, in your own mind, you cannot accomplish it. If you could accomplish it, you wouldn't need him. Zacharias. Now think about this. Zacharias was a priest. His turn had come up to go into the holy place to burn incense. He's doing his priestly duties. He's in there doing the incense in the presence of God. And then the angel of the Lord appears to him, Gabriel. I like what Gabriel said to Zacharias. Because basically he says, who are you? He says, I'm the one who stands in the presence of God. I thought, oh man. And then I got to thinking about us. And I thought, that's us today. In the Old Testament, it was the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, that literally stand in the throne room of God. But today, because of grace, he says, come boldly to the throne. Right? So today, it's you and I who can stand in the presence of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Someone asked me this week, do our words really matter? I said, absolutely. A seasoned believer asked me that. Does it really matter what we say, how we say it? It absolutely does. You see, Proverbs 18:21 says that the power of life and death is in your tongue. Ooh, that's a heavy verse. I want you to ask yourself, am I creating or am I killing? The power of life and death is in Jean's tongue. It's in Treva's tongue. It's in Beth's tongue. It's in every one of our mouths. The power of life and death. And it ends up like this. And those who love it will eat its reward. When you speak over your own life, are you speaking life? Are you speaking death? You see, if you're saying things like this, this ain't ever going to get any better. That's death. I'm just from a bunch of stupid people and I'm bound to be stupid the rest of my life. That's death. My situation will never improve because I didn't go to college. That's death and stupidity. Because I've met way too many people that went to college was dumb as a box of rocks, I'm going to tell you. Amen. College doesn't make you smart. But God can. It's an amazing fact. The Lord can take you wherever you're at and add intelligence to your life. It's just an amazing thing. As you study the Word of God and as the Lord builds in you. But I really want you to get this. Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Say, Eric, are you just one of them positive preachers? Yeah, I guess I am. I really believe this stuff. You know, the Bible says confess. And most of us, when we see that word confess, we think it's tell the Lord all your problems. Tell the Lord all your sins. Now, there is a confession that says, you know, you confess with your mouth. You come clean with the Lord. But most of the time when it's talking about confession, it's telling you to say what God says about you. The confession is not, Lord, I'm a terrible person. The confession is, God, I'm an overcomer because you told me I was an overcomer. Now, how many times do you look yourself in the mirror and say, you're a winner, buddy. You're more than a conqueror. Everything I put my hand to prospers. Why? Because I'm so good looking and so intelligent? No, because Jesus Christ lives in me. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm going to win. I'm going to do great things for God. The kingdom of God is going to prosper because Jesus lives within me. That's a confession. I'm the head and not the tail. That's a confession. Jesus Christ lives in me. Oh, I loved what the angel said. For all things are possible. I like that. That's a good confession. Hebrews 3 verse 12 says, take care, brothers, lest there be in you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. I don't think that we understand how bad unbelief is. Because we just say, well, I'm just a negative person. I was just born negative and I'm just a negative person. Well, get over it. And I mean it. Just get over yourself. Because God is not negative. And if He lives in you, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to start saying some positive things. Because Jesus is saying some positive things about you. Lest an evil, unbelieving heart. You get that? Hebrews? An evil, unbelieving heart. Well, I just don't believe until I see it. Evil, unbelieving heart. I don't believe that's going to happen until I see it. Well, we're probably going to go bankrupt. Probably all going to die of cancer. The way the world's putting all these things in all these chemicals in the water. Teeth is going to rot out. Oh, you're just such a person of faith. You just touch my heart. An evil, unbelieving heart. Guys, we got to watch it. We need to be cautious with our words. The angel Gabriel was merciful to Zacharias. You know why? Because he said, Zacharias, the world needs a John the Baptist. And I'm not going to let you speak against it. I'm not going to let you flub it up with your unbelieving heart and your bad confession. What a wonderful prayer. Lord, if I don't speak correctly, if I'm not speaking words of faith, will you shut me up? I'm not saying we're praying it. I'm just saying it's a wonderful prayer. I don't know if you're there yet. So then we go to Mary, and Gabriel makes a promise to her that she's getting ready to get pregnant, and she's going to have the Son of God. And Mary says, how can this be? I think that's a pretty good question. Mary's not that ignorant. I've never been with a man. I'm a virgin. This ain't ever happened before. How's this going to happen? Do you notice that there's no anger with Gabriel whatsoever? He did not rebuke her in any way. He did not say, oh, Mary, get over it. He just said, well, Mary, it's going to be like this. You see, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and He's going to be the one that fathers this child. But He's going to use you because you're highly favored in God's sight. Mary is not to be worshipped, but we ought to be proud. We ought to esteem her highly. But I just wonder, if the angel appeared to you, would he say, highly favored? I think most people say, there is no way that the angel Gabriel would appear to me and say, oh, you highly favored one. You know why? Because we can't see it from God's perspective. But from God's perspective, I would dare say He would say, my child in whom I love, you're highly favored with me. You're precious. I've got a great plan for your life. I just wanted to let you know, if God unveils His plan to you, and there's a question in your heart, He's okay with your questions. He's okay if you say, I don't understand this. Can you help me overcome this? Can you help me? Now, don't be like Zacchaeus. Don't hide it when it's really doubt. Because Zacharias, thank you, Zacchaeus. Both of them were short guys. So Gabriel talks to her and tells her what's going to happen. He says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. And Mary responds the way I want you to get it. Because this is what I want you to say. Let it be to me according to your word. Oh my goodness. What a wonderful, wonderful statement. Can you say that today? Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your plan. Lord, whatever you got planned for LaToya, let it be. What if it's not your plan? That's all right. I surrender my plan to your plan. You know why? Because your plan will be better than my plan. Guarantee it. God's plan for your life is going to be better than your plan. Let it be to me. Is this getting into your heart? Let it be to me. In 2015, let it be to me according to your plan, God. Not according to my plan. According to your plan, I want your will more than anything. I want your will. God doesn't get irritated with honest questions because He understands. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord knows that our thought life is on different planes. Of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says He's given us the mind of Christ. Right? So we can begin to change. We can begin to elevate our thoughts to be the thoughts of God. But it's a process. So therefore, the Lord says it's okay. I'll take your questions. Hebrews 11:6 teaches us that faith pleases God. And He rewards the diligent. He rewards those. Here's where I'm going. When you get saved, it doesn't just everything change. And this old rocky road, this old messed up world that I've been living. And all of a sudden I get saved and I expect, man, everything's going to be fixed now. It's going to take a little while. You know why? Because He's dealing with you. he dealing with someone at 40, 50 years old that's got a screwed up head? Best way I can say it. Now, when he begins to change, the Bible says it's here a little, there a little. It doesn't happen overnight. But we're supposed to be being changed into the image of God every day of our life. Every day of our life, we become just a little bit more like him if we're in his presence. If you're in the presence of Hollywood, you're going to look like Hollywood. And therefore, that's what you see in the church. A Hollywood church. Doing our way. Right? But when we get in his presence, and all of a sudden the presence of God comes into place. And those that know his presence yield to his presence. And we pray, let it be unto me according to your word. Mark chapter 11. One of my favorite portions of scripture. Let's turn over there if we would. Mark chapter 11. Jesus has been through, and the day before he just cursed a fig tree. And then the next day they walk by and they see that fig tree is dried up, just dead as a doornail. And old Peter, he couldn't get over it. He says, well, look at there. Jesus, look, that's the tree you cursed. Look at it. It's dead. And I think Jesus just wanted to look at Peter and say, ch-ch-ch. What was you expecting, boy? But he's more patient than that. Verse 22. So Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. I mean, this is a hard scripture. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. I want you to notice it doesn't say you're going to have them instantly. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. He says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. At whatever junction you're at in life, the Spirit of God is saying, have faith. Have faith in God. I just wrote a couple of things. Have faith that there is a God. Have faith that there is a God and that he knows you. Have faith that God knows who you are. Have faith that God is good and doesn't change. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from a Father, in whom there is no variableness, no shifting, no shadow of changing. He's not good one day and bad, then he's not human. He's God. He's always good. Good things come from God. Bad things come from the devil. You got it? Good things come from God. The bad things come from the devil. The devil steals, kills, and destroys. God come that you might have life and have the abundant life. Say, my life doesn't look like that. I'm sorry. It's still the plan of God. Are you in the process? If you're not in the process, then I want to say, have faith in God. Say, right now my life looks like it's in shambles. Have faith in God. Have faith that he's good. Have faith that he knows who you are. Have faith that he knows your situation. God knows you. He said, I know every hair on their head. You're not a number to God. You're a name. He knows your name. God knows us. Have faith that God is able to complete the task for you. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will complete it. You see, there's a lot of people in the process of seeing something done, but not changing much at this moment. Have you ever believed God and it got worse? I have. What do you do when it gets worse? You keep believing. Keep believing. I'm going to say something. I don't mean to shake your doubt or shake your faith. I would rather go to heaven believing God for something that I didn't see on earth as to walk in doubt. Let's go in full faith. Let's believe. You know, there's this philosophy in the church that God is sovereign, and He is. But this philosophy says whatever He wants, that's the way it's going to be. It doesn't matter what I do. That's nonsense. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. That's not true. You know how I know that's not true? Because God says, I would that all men would come to repentance. You see, God is sovereign, but the sovereign will of God is that every one of us would repent and go to heaven. Will all people repent and go to heaven? No. That's why hell was created, right? For the devil and the angels, but it's where people, unbelievers, are going. So if God was sovereign, whatever He wants, that's the way it's going to be. Then we could step back and say, hey, we're all going to be saved in the end. That's not true. So how about you then? Can you just sit back and say, well, que sera, sera, whatever God's got planned, that's the way it's going to happen. No, sir. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. You have got to persist in your faith. Those who diligently seek Him. So are you being diligent to seek the plan of God for your life? Are you being diligent to say, God has shared with me a vision, and in my mind, I can't see how it's going to happen? It's not about you, it's about Him in you. He will accomplish it. Mary could not have a child without a man involved. That's impossible. Until the Holy Ghost shows up and says, you know what? I'll father that child for you because I'm going to change the world. Let it be to me according to your word. I submit my will. I submit my plan to you, Jesus. Have faith that He knows your need. Have faith that God is willing. Read Psalm 103 one of these days. God's willing to bless you. He wants to bless you. And then He switches gears and He says, now speak to your mountain. Oh, listen to me for a moment longer. That doesn't mean, wow, that's a big mountain. I'm probably never going to get over this mountain. Speak to the mountain. Lord, I say to that mountain, be gone. And you get up in the morning and think, well, there's that mountain. I didn't think that'd work. Mountain of debt. I say in Jesus' name, you're gone. Mountain of poverty. Mountain of sickness. Mountain of defeat. In Jesus' name, I speak to you. And I say, I'll put up with it long enough. Get out of my life. I believe God for something better. If I want to have a family reunion, I can go to the county jail and visit all my cousins. Pretty much any time. Statistically, I ought to be a drunk. Speak to your mountain. Lord, I want to rise above. I want to rise above. I believe greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Say, everybody in my family has illegitimate children. I don't mean you have to. Are you getting this? If you keep seeing it through only your eyes, then you're going to be a product of your circumstances. But God wants to do more in your life. Speak to your mountain. Be gone. Sickness, be gone. Now, I know there are you here today that you're dealing with a long-term sickness every day, every day, every day, every day. Get up and say, sickness be gone. Sickness, disease, be gone. Why? You're speaking to your mountain. That's what he said to do. Speak to that mountain. Don't look at it and say, wow, my goodness, how did I get in this mess? That is not going to get you out of it. In Jesus' name, I declare, mountain, you're out of here. You may have to say it more than once. You may have to say it more than 1,000 times. You know, I went through a period of my life where I thought I was losing my mind. My wife thought I was losing my mind. If I'd went to the doctor, I'm sure I'd been on some medicine really quick. But I didn't go to the doctor. I went to Dr. Jesus. Several hours a day. I'd lay in bed every morning. Couldn't sleep. Wake up at 2 o'clock every day. Go to bed at 10, wake up at 2. Wake up at 2. I'd start quoting the Word of God over myself. Couldn't focus my eyes. I was just like, I had so much stress on me, so much pressure. I mean, it was about to drive me crazy. Thou hast given him perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. I would sometimes quote that 200 or 300 times before I ever got out of bed. What was I doing? I was speaking to my mountain. Thou hast given him perfect peace. I have a sound mind in the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you guys, if you're not ready to fight for it, you're never going to get it. You've got to fight for it because you have an enemy. Do you understand this? As much as Jesus wants you to have it, Satan is there to block it. So you must be diligent to fight for the things that God wants you to have. He wants to bless your life. He wants you to be a blessing to this world. Are you willing to fight for it? Don't entertain thoughts of doubt. Cast them down. And you will have them. Each and every day, you will have them. I guarantee you this. I guarantee you that Satan is going to come to you every day. And he said, things are not going to change for you. It's not happening. You're not praying according to the will of God. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. This is not going to leave your life. And I want to tell you, according to the word, if you speak to that mountain, it will. Are you willing to fight for it? Walk in forgiveness. You cannot expect the blessing of God to come your way when you're entertaining thoughts of unforgiveness towards others. It's not worth it, guys. You may be blocking the biggest blessing that's ever could come to your life because you're unwilling to let go of it. Let go. Say, Eric, I don't think I can. I'm not asking you what you can do. I'm asking you, are you willing to allow the Lord to give you the strength to let it go? There are people that have been violated. I can't imagine how difficult it would be if you've been raped or if you've been through a life of incest to forgive somebody. But I'm going to tell you something. Until you do, they're going to hold you captive for the rest of your life. Forgive them so that the blessing of God can come through. Amen. My situation doesn't seem to be changing. What do I do, Eric? Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Never Never give up. Never throw up the white flag. Don't you do it. Don't give Satan any credit. Don't tell Satan, okay, you won. No. You getting me? Don't give up. Don't give up. Stand. Stand in faith and believe God. Joseph, as a child, God shared with him a dream. Little did he know that he would wind up going to jail for 16 years. But he never gave up on his dream. You know, Joseph saved the entire known world at that time because he was willing to not give up on the dream. God, I know that dream was from you. And I don't care if it goes to the jail. I'm going to believe you. You know, Joseph is one of the few people in the scriptures that we never see him doubting God. It never records that he doubted the dream that God had planned on him. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. That was his statement of faith. Jacob wrestled with an angel all night. He says, I'm not giving up until you bless me. Oh my goodness. For people that would come to church with an attitude of, I'm not giving up until the blessing of God falls. I'm not leaving until I see the victory. I will not give up. The angel of the Lord had to touch his thigh and knock it out of place to try to get Jacob to give up. And even then, in absolute pain and agony, he would not give up. Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. These are people in the scripture that I'm telling you, even in the problems of life, they maintain that spirit of faith. I'm not giving up. Naaman had to dip 7 times in a muddy river. He said, we have better water where I'm from. Why should I do that? Hezekiah's town was surrounded by the Assyrians. And Hezekiah prayed. They talked to the guys on the city gate and said, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be drinking your own urine and eating your own waste. Everybody we've come up against said their God will deliver them. And why would we believe that your God's any difference? Hezekiah says, guys, we got to pray. The next morning, 185,000 Assyrians lay dead outside the gate. I'm telling you, when you stand upon the word, you're standing in a pretty good spot. If he has to move heaven and earth, he will fulfill his word. Are you willing to stand? Are you willing to take it all the way? Say, I'm believing you, God. 4 friends had to tear a roof off. We have trouble coming to church when it's raining. Paul and Silas had to turn pain and powerlessness into praise before they saw their miracle. Bartimaeus had to irritate the disciples. Oh, blind Bartimaeus, remember the disciple says, shut up, Bartimaeus. Be quiet. Don't irritate Jesus. Bartimaeus said, get out of my way. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He left a different man. Jesus had to go to a cross. Probably wasn't a plan he picked out for himself. He probably didn't want to ever have his father turn his back on him. But because he loved you, because it was the plan of God, because it was the only way that salvation was coming to us, he endured the cross for the joy set before him. You remember reading that verse? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was that joy? You. You're that joy. You. there's always a stand of faith before the miracle. Always. You got it? I'm so sick of this easy Christianity. You're going to have to stand. Stand ye therefore. When you've done all, stand. You see, he fights the battle. But you got to stand. You got to stand in faith, believing God. How bad do you want the promise? I want it. Thank God for Mary. Thank God she didn't say, that's just too hard. I'm going to be humiliated. What if Joseph divorces me? She didn't have all the answers, guys. She didn't know what Joseph was going to do. Joseph had the right to take her and stone her to death. Verse 45 says, blessed is she who believes. Talking about Mary. Blessed is she who believes. I want to say that to you. Blessed are you when you believe. The blessing will come when you believe God. Stand with me if you would. I have one simple question to ask you today. And I don't want you to respond to this if you can't do it, if you can't say it. But I'm going to ask you, for every person that can say this or willing to say this today, I'm going to ask you to come up front and just gather around to the front. You're not saying this to me, you're saying it to Him. I want you to say the words that Mary said. If in your heart you can say, let it be to me according to your word, I want you to come and stand. If that's the prayer of your heart, let it be to me according to your word. Do you trust the plan of God enough? Let it be to me according to your plan. I wish I knew the plan for every one of you. I wish I could say, here's what God's calling you to do. Here's what it is, and here's how wonderful it is. But I don't know it. I think you probably do. You may have buried it because it's so big. You maybe even can't see it happening because it's so beyond you. Let it be to me. Let it be. Whatever you want for me, Jesus, let it be to me according to your word. What a wonderful prayer. See, if you're not saved today, if you pray this prayer, it's got to include the prayer of salvation. You can't pray for the will of God and not be saying, Lord, I give you my heart. Because the very first part of the plan is for you to be saved. For you to know Jesus. And then what you're doing is you're literally saying, Lord, I unleash my desire for your desire. You see, when I was 17, 18 years old, all I wanted to do in life was make money. And a lot of it. I wanted to be extremely rich. I was a Christian. I was going to bless others. I was going to bless the church. Never had a desire not to do that. But I was so sick of poverty, all I could see is I wanted to be rich. But when I got serious with God, and I said, your will, not my will, He took that desire away from me. No longer did I want to be a millionaire. Just wasn't a desire. Money moves me very little. Kitchen gadgets has got my number. Money does not. But the plan of God. The plan of God. want it. God, I don't know what you want for my life exactly. All I know is I'm all in. I am all in. Can I pray for you? Would you humbly submit yourself to God? Father God, I believe these people are very sincere. I believe their heart cry is the same as Mary's. Be it unto me according to your word, according to the plan, according to the word of God, be it unto me. Father, it's a wonderful statement of faith, and I pray the blessing of God would rest upon them. I pray that this decision would be very deep in their heart, that they would not change their mind tomorrow. I pray that they would not change their mind when the storm comes. When Satan says, yeah, you think you really want it, let me tell you what it's going to cost you. Help us to make this decision all the way, Lord. Let it be to us according to your word. I pray the blessing of God upon each and every person. Lord, I know that there are world changers in this place. I know that you want to deliver people from poverty. I know that you want to deliver people from sickness. I know that you want to do great and mighty things in your people. You want to take people that society says are worthless and make them world changers in this building. And I thank you for that. I pray, Lord Jesus, the blessing of God rest upon them. Let it be unto us according to your word. We're willing to fight for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not saved today, you want to accept Jesus Christ into your heart so that you get in on this plan. All you do is you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've messed up my life in so many ways. I've been living life according to my way. And I'm just asking you to forgive me. Would you forgive me, God? Would you come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior? I will endeavor to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. That's how simple it is, guys. And how powerful a change it will be. Amen. Pastor Ray, come and dismiss these people.
And you all are to us. And at this Christmas time, we would like to present with you all a little gift from us to show you our appreciation.
Thank you very much.